Hey, good morning, and thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is Masechet Yevamos, daf Tesvav. We were on the bottom of Yedaladim and Beis. This is the famous sugya of Lo Tiskodidu. The Gemara taught us that based on the verse Lo Tiskodidu, there are actually two prohibitions in that verse. There's one prohibition, which is that in sadness over the loss of a relative, don't scratch yourself and make yourself bleed. Don't mourn excessively. But there's another prohibition here in this verse. The Torah shouldn't be made to appear that there are two Toros. Our religion shouldn't become factions where one has one type of faith and one has a whole different type of faith with very different practices. And people say, oh, these are two different religions. No, there's one Jewish religion, there's one Torah, there's one way of living, there's one set of behaviors, and we should be united in at least within one court. You know, we can have two different courts, or we can have two different towns, but at least within a community, within a congregation, there has to be a certain, everybody's on the same page. This is what it looks like. So the Gemara said, well, what about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? They're different, and They're acting very differently. A lot of different issues. You know, Hilchos Shabbos, Beis Shammai hold up the same way. You're not allowed to work, and your animal's not allowed to work. Your utensils can't work. You can't have a fire going. You can't have a light burning on Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, there's no such thing as Shvisas Kalim. You can set up a timer, and the timer is going to start things on Shabbos this way, that way. There are objects. Objects can work. The person can't work, but objects can work, according to Beis Hillel. That's a very big difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So one of the ideas is that, okay, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel maybe are two different courts. That's one idea. Another idea that the Gemara threw out is that maybe Beis Shammai never followed their rulings. We know that the Gemara in Erevin tells us that the whole argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel went on for 3 years, and they had over 300 different arguments, as we have throughout Shas. But it only went on for 3 years. So maybe in those 3 years, and then after the 3 years, the voice came out of heaven and said, that's it, everybody listen to Beis Hillel. Could be that even during those 3 years, no one was really following Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai's ideas were theoretical. Why wouldn't people have followed Beit Shammai? Because the majority was Beis Hillel. The majority was Beis Hillel. Now it could be that even when the times when they were arguing, really they were just arguing in the theory and what they thought the law should be, but in actuality, halacha was always carried out like Beis Hillel. So that's going to be the question that the first part of today's daf is going to deal with. Actually, really all of what we're going to be learning today is going to be surrounding that question. Is that really possible? We saw that this was an argument between Rav and Shmuel. This was an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whether Asu Kedirveim or Lo Asu Kedirveim. Is it really possible that Lo Asu Kedirveim? Is it really possible to argue that Beis Shammai were not following what they felt? They argue, they say these things, they didn't carry it out. They didn't live this way. So let's see. Tashma, we are four lines on the bottom here on Yudalid Amud Beis. Tashma, come to your proof that Beis Shammai did follow their rulings. We have a braisa. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri said, our topic here, Masechet Yevamos, how we got into the whole issues of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, is because of the topic of a co-wife of an erva. Let's say the co-wife of daughter, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven has a daughter. His daughter married his brother. Apparently, that was the norm. The norm was for uncles to marry nieces. That was the norm. I don't know, maybe they felt they would shelter them better, but that was the norm. The norm was that the uncle would marry the niece. So now that the uncle passes away, the niece is now falling to her father. And there's a co-wife here. So Mishnah said that an erva exempts a co-wife. But Beis Shammai, they hold no. The erva is exempt. The daughter can't have yibum with her father, but her co-wife, the woman who was married with her at the same time to the person who passed away, could do yibum with the brother. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. All right, Dam Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Heyach halacha zu revachas b'Yisrael. How are we going to spread this halacha in the Jewish nation? In other words, what should the Jewish nation do about this issue? Now, I said to Rabbi Beis Shammai that we should act like Beis Shammai, and we should say, okay, the co-wife of an erva is permitted to do yibum. To do that, havlad mamzel de Rebbe Beis Hillel. If we allow the co-wife of an erva to do yibum, so according to Beis Hillel, we allow a woman married to a brother to marry her deceased brother's, her deceased husband's brother, when she wasn't allowed to. Because according to Beis Hillel, there is no mitzvah of yibum here. The co-wife exempts. So according to Beis Hillel, what you have here is isur eishes ach, the prohibition of wife of brother taking place. So according to Beis Hillel, we're creating mamzerim. So to say we're going to follow Beis Shammai, that'll be creating mamzerim according to Beis Hillel. Now, so going to be Beis Hillel, if we're going to follow Beis Hillel, say, okay, Allah is like Beis Hillel. Co-wife, you can go marry out of the family. No problems, no need for a chalitz even. So now, Vlad Pagma Dibbe Beis Shammai. So according to Beis Shammai, though, that was a lav, that was a prohibition. And even though the child of a prohibition is not a mamzer, but the child of a prohibition is a chalala, and she is prohibited to kohanim. So we don't want to increase the amount of people who are prohibited to kohanim. So said, suggested Rabbi Yochanan Nuri to the other sages, let's make a enactment for the co-wives. That the co-wives should all get a chalitza. Okay, if they get a chalitza, and even according to Beis Shammai, they can marry outside of the family. Now, that will create some cost. That means now that if we're requiring them to get a chalitza, they are disqualified from Kohanim. They're a chalutza. Okay, they're disqualified, but their children won't be disqualified. Now let's make a rule. V'lo misyabmos. No one should allow their co-wife, no one should allow the co-wife of an erva to do yibum. Although he's piku ligmar asadavar, they weren't able to complete this matter. Ad shenitrifa hasha'a, until the time, you know, sort of was messed up. They weren't able to carry it out. They weren't able to do it. Something happened. I guess maybe there was a war. Maybe there was a government attack. Remember, they're living under the Romans. Maybe there was a storm, an illness, whatever it was. Something happened that the gathering was not able to come to a conclusion, even though sort of the sages were trending in the direction of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's proposal. And they said, okay, well, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu broke it up, that means we're not supposed to make the ruling. Amar le Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, though, had said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who was proposing that we should make an enactment that all the co-wives of Arayos should get chalitza. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to him, Ma na'aseh lahem letzaros harishonos me'ata. We make this ruling and we say, co-wives of Arayos, co-wives of the prohibited women, they need a chalitza. So what are we going to do for all the women who have followed Beis Shammai, and these were co-wives of Arayos, and they married the Yavams, their Yavams. So now if we say to everybody, you can't, we're not allowing Yibum. So now they're going to think that their liaison is an Isser Erva. Now we're making Mamzer. What are we going to do for all the original Tzaros? So says the Gemara. Yamar to Bishlama Asu. If you're going to tell me when that's something which is reasonable, that Beis Shammai were following their rulings. And at the Gemara, that's what he says. Mana says, now what are we going to do for all these people who've already gotten married? Yamar to Asu. But if you're going to tell me Beis Shammai, during the 3 years of their arguments with Beis Hillel, they didn't even follow their rulings. These were just theoretical arguments. So my man asks, what's he saying? What are we going to do for the people already, who've already made decisions? Nobody's done anything. Everybody's been always following Beis Hillel. I'm Rav Nachmer Yitzchak. Rav Nachmer Yitzchak answered, Lo Nitzucha, Ela Letzara Atzma. Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to the co-wife herself. Yes. Till now, we've only been following Beis Hillel. The co-wives have gone off to... They've gone off to marry without a chalitza, because they were a co-wife of an erev. And even Beis Shammai's co-wives, they did that. But the question is, if you're going to say now, let's also accommodate Beis Shammai by having chalitza. Umanasachikam is what it means to say. Umanasachikam are hanach tzaras the Beis Hillel. These women of the Beis Hillel families who've married out without anything. Now that we're saying that we're going to follow the Beis Shammai and require chalitza for everybody. Hey, chinavid lohu, what are we going to do for them? They're already married. Lichaltu, we're going to tell them that they're married. Okay, but now the rule is that all the tzara serva need chalitzas. You guys need to do chalitzas now. Mimasiya gavrayu, they're married. And now they're going to go do a chalitza with the old husband's brother. Their husband is going to find it revolting. And they're currently married. Chitemi, if you're going to say, all right, limasan, let's allow the women to go do it. Their husbands are going to be disgusted somewhat. Okay, this is the price to pay so that we are now covering all of our bases in halacha. The answer is no, we can't do that. The pasuk says in Proverbs and Mishlei, Durachecha darchei noam, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. V'chol nesivo seha shalom, and all of her small paths are peaceful. And since the ways of the Torah are supposed to be pleasant and the paths are supposed to be peaceful, it's not correct to establish a practice which is going to create ill will between a husband and a wife. That's not pleasant. That's not furthering the cause of peace. Now, we don't always say this. Sometimes the Torah does ask of us to do things that are difficult and sometimes tense and uncomfortable. But as the post can point out over here, the commentaries point out, basically, halacha is like Beis Hillel. They're the majority. That's what everybody was following according to this version. These women did the right thing. So for a chumrah, for a stringency, there is another view, let's get that view too. For that type of a thing, you know, you just want to be a little bit better, a little bit more safe. At the expense of creating ill will, that we don't do to create ill will. You know, it's a very important point in any decision. We have to try to look at the entirety of the picture. And many times we have to weigh competing values, and we have to have a sense of what's the bigger deal, what's the smaller deal, and to really prioritize the values. So here the priority has to be, you know, Durachecha darchei noam, that has to be the priority. It's a famous story about the Nefesh HaChayim, Rav Chaim of Volozhin, when he was a rabbi in Volozhin. So there was some problem that came up with the shochet, I guess some issue with the kashrus. So in that instance, Rav Chaim of Volozhin was very upset at the people who made a big war about it. He said that particular issue that they were claiming was a problem was a rabbinic issue. He said, but to make a war, a machlokes, that's already a biblical problem. The pasuk says, "V'lo tiyeh k'korach v'cha'adaso," and don't be like Korach and his ilk. Korach made a whole fight against Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not supposed to be making fights and machlokes and divisiveness and lashon hara and rechilus and complaints about this one, about that one. He said, you know, they're missing the sense of priority. This is already a bigger deal. You know, I've given the example many times. Somebody has a yard site and somebody else is davening for the amud. So the guy gets all offended. He makes a whole scene. It's my yard site. It's my chazaka. What a craziness. Machlokes, that's already a big aveira. It's a major aveira. It's not shalom. It's not peace. Peace is what holds blessings. It's a terrible aveira. The whole point of davening for the amud is to try to add merits to the deceased. But by making a machlokes, a person is chas v'shalom doing the opposite for the deceased instead of adding merit. So what a loss of the bigger picture. So that's what he's saying here as well. The Gemara says, listen, Durachecha darchei noam, v'chol nesivo seha shalom. So Reb Shimon Gamliel argues against Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, how could we make a proposal to have all the Yavamos, all the tzaros erva, the co-wives of Arayos, to be doing chalitza. What about those who are already married and have them do a chalitza? That's going to create ill will between them and their husbands. And we shouldn't be doing that. Tashma, okay, back to this question. Did Beis Shammai follow their rulings? The Amar Rebbe Tarfon, Rebbe Tarfon, who we know, was a student of Beis Shammai. We have him in Masechta Brachos. Rebbe Tarfon speaks about how when the Torah says, B'shach b'chav kumecha, according to Beis Shammai, that means that the Kriyat Shema of night is supposed to be recited not only at the time of laying down, but while actually laying down. And Rabbi Tarfon said, Ani itesi likros, I laid down to read Shema, and I got into danger. But we know, I'm Rabbi Tarfon said, Ta'aveni, I have an urge. Masai tavo tzaras habas liadi. When will I have the opportunity to have the co-wife of my daughter fall to me for Yibum? Liadi v'esa'ena, and I'll marry her. So you see that they were carrying it out. Amos, and maybe change the version of this brisa. Rabbi Tarfon says, I'm waiting for the time when my daughter and her co-wife are going to fall to me to Yibum, the Asi'enon. I'll marry off the co-wife outside of the family. Rabbi said, I'm waiting for something. I have an urging. So if you're waiting to be able to do something radical, something new, innovative, to follow the view of Beit Shammai, that we understand. But you're waiting to do the norm just to follow the view of Beis Hillel. Answers the Gemara, he still said he's waiting for something, because he's waiting to show everybody lafukim and Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, to show that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is wrong, and that we don't require a chalitza to enable the co-wife to marry out, but rather she can marry out just because she's the co-wife of an erva. Tashma, coming to your proof, we learn Ma'aseb bito shel Rabbi Gamliel. There was a story with the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel, Shaisa Nesua LaAbba. The daughter of Rabbi Gamliel was married to Abba, who was Achiv, who was the brother of Rabbi Gamliel. Umeis below Banim, and Abba dies without children. V'yibim Rabbi Gamliel as Sarasa, and Rabbi Gamliel did Yibum with the co-wife of his daughter. Rabbi Gamliel did Yibum with the co-wife of his daughter. So you see that the psak of Beis Shammai, that the co-wife of an erva can do Yibum, was being carried out. Says the Gemara of Tisbra, do you really think Rabbi Gamliel mitamina Beis Shammai? Rabbi Gamliel was a student of Beis Shammai. We know he's the Nasi, he's the student of Beis Hillel. Ella, rather, Shani Bito Rabbi Gamliel. The daughter of Rabbi Gamliel was different. To Islandess Hawaii, she was an Islandess. So I guess it was only discovered after the marriage that she was an islandess, according to this version. And if she's an islandess, then, and it's discovered later, that shows that the marriage wasn't a marriage. Since the marriage wasn't a marriage, therefore, her co-wife was not prohibited. Her co-wife was permitted. Says the Gemara, 1 second, Amid Ketani Sefer, but the end of that brisa was Acher Momrim. Others say that Bito Shem Gamliel islandess Haisa. And it's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel was an islandess. And that's what the co-wife could marry. Doesn't that mean that the Tanakama holds that she wasn't an islandess? Says the Gemara, no, maybe everybody agrees that she was an islandess. And that was why the co-wife was allowed to do Yibum. The two views are whether or not the husband knew that she was an islandess before he married her. Those are the two views. So in other words, according to the Tanakhama, an islandess, if the erva is an islandess, she doesn't exempt her co-wife from Yibum in a scenario where the husband only discovers that the wife he's married to, this erva, is an islandess after the marriage. So then it means retroactively it was Kiddush Etos. It was a marriage based on a faulty representation, all based on a mistake. So then she never was his wife. Then the co-wife was never the co-wife of an erva. Whereas Acherim hold that an islandess who is an erva, if the erva is an islandess, And she doesn't exempt the co-wife from Yibum, even though the husband noticed that she was an islandess before the marriage, and she really is his wife. Because the logic is, since she's an islandess, she can't have Ohaya Bechora Shertelet. So she can't have Yibum at all. So she can't exempt the co-wife. The whole idea of an Erev exempting a co-wife is they're both falling to Yibum. This one knocks it out. But she never fell to Yibum because she's an islandess. She can't have kids. So therefore the co-wife was able to marry. So what Achayim are saying is, as Achayim say, islandess haisa. They're saying she always was an islandess, even before the husband married her. He knew that she was an islandess. And even so, the co-wife is allowed to do a yibum because an islandess is not in the whole, you know, category of yibum. Iba Yisema, another answer in terms of the machlokas, Latina Tanakama and Acherim. Kanas ulavasov gireshika menayu. The difference between the two views, the Tanakama versus Acherim, is about the question of a man who marries an erva and a co-wife, and then he divorces the erva and then he dies. We saw this question before also. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, according to the first version, Rabbi Gamliel's case was Rabbi Gamliel was able to marry the co-wife of his daughter because at the time of the death of his brother Abba, his daughter was already divorced from the... his daughter was divorced already from Abba. Whereas, according to Acherim, Acherim say, no, you don't even have to say that she was divorced. She was an islandess. And because she was an islandess, that's why she did not exempt the co-wife, because it was a Kiddush HaTov, so it was all a mistaken marriage. And she was never really married, so it's not that there's a co-wife of Erva here. And the Chachamim would say, but though if the issue is divorce, that wouldn't be enough divorce, because they hold that if a co-wife and an erva were at one point married to the brother, that already the erva exempts the co-wife, even if at the time of death the erva is divorced. Iba Yisema, we can say a third explanation of what's going on in that machlokas tanaim. Yesh nai bebiya yikabeinai. The machlokas tanaim is whether if a person makes a marriage based on a condition, he says, okay, you're mukudesh to me on condition that your brother who's away in Honolulu actually is a nice guy. When he comes back, we'll see if he's a nice guy. So right now it's a conditional marriage. And then he just has relations with her. So once he has relations with her, maybe that means that he waived the condition because... we have a rule generally, ein adam osa bilas o bilas nos. People don't want to have relations, you know, in vain. They want to have relations of marriage. So that was the question. So the Tanakama held that that's what happened with the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel. The daughter of Rabbi Gamliel had been married on condition to the brother, to Acha. But then Acha had relations with her. So, but the condition turns out that the condition wasn't met. So, let's say Acha said, I'm going to marry the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel, b'tnai she'ein aleha mumin, on condition that she doesn't have any blemishes, no warts, let's say. And then he had relations with her. And then he died. And now we look, we see there are warts there. There are mumin. So according to the Tanakama, that was the reason why the daughter wasn't considered married. Because even if there are relations... but if there was a condition, the condition's not met, the condition is still operative. So the condition means that the marriage never worked. Whereas according to the Acherim, they say, no, if there were relations, that's the waiving of the condition. The relations waive the condition. That means he doesn't care about the condition so much. He had relations with her. So therefore, they say, the reason why the co-wife was permitted was because she was an islandess. Masa Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia challenges this view that Beis Shammai didn't follow their rulings, but they would only say it in a theoretical way. But we learned, Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva, there was a story of Rabbi Akiva, now out of the laws of Yibum. So we get Esrog Be'echa B'Shvat. He once picked an Esrog on the first day of Shvat. V'noag Bo, Shnei Yisurin. So he separated from the Esrog two tithes. Both Ma'aseh Sheni, because maybe this still belongs to year two. And Ma'aseh Ani, maybe this already is belonging to year three. Echa Kediv Beit Shammai. The Ma'aseh Ani would be like the view of Beit Shammai, that the first of Shvat is the turning point. It's the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. That's the beginning of the year. The other is like the view of Beis Hillel, that the 15th of Shvat is the turning point, so this was still year two. So Shmami Na'asu, so you see that Beit Shammai did follow their rulings. And so the Gemara Rabbi Akiva, Gemara Yistapikle, Rabbi Akiva, it's not that he was, you know, maybe following Beit Shammai, you know, following what Beit Shammai say, plus what Beis Hillel say, because Beit Shammai's opinion is a valid opinion. That's not what was going on. He wasn't sure what he had heard from his own teachers. He wasn't sure if Beis Hillel felt that the 15th of Shvat was the Rosh Hashanah, or the 1st of Shvat was the Rosh Hashanah. Masa, another challenge, this time from our Zutra. Quoting a Mishnah in Sukkah, and there was a story where the daughter-in-law of Shammai gave birth. And he peeled off the tar on top of the roof to take out planks. And he put tzchach on the baby's crib. So you see the Beis Shammai, you're following their views right here. They're following the views that a child, even younger than what Beis Hillel think, are obligated in Sukkah, in Chinuch. Says the Gemara, no, has some there. It wouldn't look like two toros. Haroa Omer lafushi avir kafi. People who see this happening, they just think, oh, he's just looking to get more air. Masa Marzutra, Marzutra, not looking to do something, religious. He just needs more air. That's why he took off the roof panels, and then he wanted to shelter the child. He put tzach on the child's crib. But it wasn't, this is a religious statement. Masa Marzutra, Marzutra, challenge from another brisa. We learned, Masa Mishaikas, Yehu, Shaisham Yushalayim. There was a story with the Shokes Yehu, with the watering trough of Yehu in Jerusalem. And we know a mikvah is a collection of 40 sa'ah of pure water. 40 sa'ah of rainwater, 40 sa'ah of well water, spring water, 40 sa'ah in one spot, and it wasn't carried in a utensil. It wasn't Mayim Shuvin. Let's say you have less than 40 sa'ah in a watering trough, and it's right next to the pool of 40 sa'ah. So Marzutra said there was a story with the Shokas Yehu in Jerusalem, Vaisa Nakuva la Mikva, and there was a hole between it and the Mikva. So it had a hole in the Shokas. The Shokas had less than 40 sa'ah, but there was a hole in the Shokas. And through the hole, there was actually a linkage between the Mikva and, well, it's on the other side of the wall. Now, how big does the hole have to be? We've learned this several times. The view of Beis Hillel is that you only need to have a hole big enough for Shofar HaSanot, for the two fingers to go around and around, like the opening of a straw. Two fingers to go around and around like this. That's all you need. People who would eat taros in Yerushalayim, they used to bring utensils that had become tame, let's say small little needles and things like that. Forks and spoons, things like that. They would put them into this Shokes Yehu. They would immerse them in the Shokes Yehu. The Shalchu Beis Shammai. Now Beis Shammai disagreed. They felt that to combine waters, you need more than just the small hole, the hole the size of a straw. Shalchu Beis Shammai v'irchivua. Beis Shammai sent people and they made the hole much bigger. Because Beis Shammai say, Achetipatach beruba. If you have a wall separating two collections of water, you have to have the wall opened in its majority. Eruv mikvaos. Combining two mikvaos. It's kishvoferes hanod. That's like the hole of a straw, bu'uvya, uvachalala, in its width, and in its space. And that is kishtei etzbos chazuslim koman. It's like two fingers going around in a full circle and coming back to where they started from in this hole. And even though that's the halacha, here Beis Shammai, who held differently, who held that it should be, you know, Ruba Shel Dofen, the majority of the wall, they carried out their what they paskin. They carried it out. So Shmamina Asu. So you see that Beis Shammai were following their rulings. Says the Gemara, no. Hasam, now turning to Tesvavim and Beis. Hasam there. Again, it doesn't look like two toros. Haroe Omer, the one who sees the followers of Beis Shammai breaking the wall, he's going to say, Lafushe Mayu Dukava. They're just doing it to have more water there. Tashma, come to your proof. Tam Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Tzaduk, Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Tzaduk said, when I was learning Torah with my teacher, Rabbi, I saw that he was eating dry bread with salt in years of famine. I came and I informed my father, Rabbi Tzadok, that this is the poverty of Rabbi Yochanan HaCharani. Amarli, my father told me, Holech lo zeisin. Bring him some olives. That'll be better. Halachti lo, I brought him some olives. Ra osan shein lachin. So he saw that the olives were moist. Now in this week's parasha we learn the concept of machshirin, that olives or anything, any fruit, once it gets washed off with one of the seven liquids, it's able to become tummy. So here, these olives were moist from the juice that had come out of other olives. It doesn't even look like oil yet. They still hold that that's machshir to be able to make it able to become tummy. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Charani was afraid. Rabbi Yochanan ben Charani was afraid now. Maybe an Am Aretz touched the barrel of olives. Now, even though that's only a Tumah D'Rabbanan, maybe that Tumah D'Rabbanan will make the olives tameh, because the olives are mukshar l'kabel tumah by the liquid that's on them. So therefore, he didn't want to eat the olives. Amar Li, he said, Ein ani ochel zeisin. He was someone who was ochel chulim b'tahara. He ate even non-truma in a state of purity. He said, I don't eat olives. I told father what happened. Amarli said to him, Lech v'morlo, go tell him these olives, their moisture is not a moisture which can be machshir, because as we learn in this week's parasha, it's only moisture that you want which can make a fruit able to become tameh. And that barrel, Nekuva Haisa, that barrel had a hole in it to drain out the moisture, to show that we didn't want the moisture. I said, if the moisture all drains out, why was it wet? Some of the sediments of the olives had filled in the hole. It's not, and we learned in a Mishnah, let's say you have a barrel of olives and you want to pickle them. So you put salt into the barrel and it's you know, stewing in the salt. Beishamai, so you don't have to make a hole in the barrel to drain the oil to show that you don't want this oil. This isn't oil yet. This is just mohal. Mohal is a fruit juice, and it's not one of the seven liquids, and therefore the olives are not going to become tummy. Beis Hillel disagree. They say, Mohal, this type of a liquid of the olives is already considered an oil, and therefore it is machshir to be makabel tuma. But by making a hole in the bottom of the barrel, you're showing you don't want this liquid. If you don't want it, now it can't be machshir. Umodim and Beis Hillel will agree, right? Beis Hillel Mitzvichim Lenakev, you have to make a hole in the barrel, and they would agree. Shem Nikva, if he made the hole, but Stamu Hashmarim Shitora, that if you made the hole, you did an act to show that you don't want this liquid, and now the sediment sealed up the hole. The olives are not Mukshel Kabel Tuma. V'Yavol Bishat Talmud Shammai Haya. Now, even though Rabbi Tzadok was a student of Shammai, so he really wouldn't care that. To make a hole in the barrel. Because this is mohal. Mohal can't make things able to become tummy. Call myself Loasa, look at the Beis Hillel. He still used to always follow the views of Beis Hillel too. Now, yeah, I'm Bishma Asu. You're going to tell me that Beis Shammai were following their rulings. And Rav Usse, that's the big deal. Even though he's a student of Beis Hillel, even though he's a student of Shammai, he would follow Beis Hillel. But if you say all of the Beis Shammai people always followed Beis Hillel, because Beis Shammai never followed their own rulings. My Rav Usse, what's the big deal? That he was a student of Shammai, but he's still following the views of Beis Hillel. All right, so bottom line is, we see a proof that Beis Shammai did follow their rulings. Tashma, now another proof. Shalut Rabbi Yeshua, they once asked Rabbi Yeshua, Tzaras HaBasmahu, what's the law of the co-wife of a daughter? Amalahem, he said to them, Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, this is the argument of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So they said, okay, Allah Nidim and me, who's the Allah like? Amalahem, he said to me, Pnei Mata Machnisa Roshi Ben Shnei Harim Gedolim. Why are you putting my head in between two mountains? Between these two big fights, I should be in the middle of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I'm worried that they might smash my brains. But I could tell you the following. There are two big families in Jerusalem. Mishpachas Beis Tzvoim from Ben Achmai. Mishpachas Beis Kofai from Ben Mikoshesh. They are descendants of co-wives of Arayos who married out of the family without a chalitza, like Beis Hillel. Umehem Kohanim Gedolim, and they are considered very much Kohanim. They're not considered Chalalim, people who are descendants of a law violation. They have Kohanim Gedolim in the families. V'Hashim Shol Gavim Mizbeach, they served on top of the Mizbeach. Now, Yamar Bishlama Asu, if you're going to tell me that Beis Shammai used to follow their rulings. Hani the comment, that's where Yeshua says, Misyari Ani, I'm afraid to get involved. Eli Amarta Lo Asu, but if you say that Beis Shammai didn't follow their rulings, I might come from Misyari Ani. What's he worried about? Why is he afraid to get involved? When he Nami to Asu, and even if they followed their rulings, my Misyari Ani, why is he saying, I'm worried that they might, be upset with me? I'm Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua himself holds a mamzer ele mechayve misus bezdin, that you can only have a mamzer situation if the liaison of the marriage was so bad that the bezdin would put to death for it. So I said, okay, nihinami the mamzer lohavi. Okay, true. He knew that no one's going to be a mamzer here. But pagumi ohavi, but they'll be disqualified from kahuna. So he's saying, I'm worried to follow the ruling of Beis Hillel, because if I follow I'm worried to follow the ruling, let's say, of Beis Shammai, because if I follow the ruling of Beis Shammai, then the children of the co-wife of the Erva with the Yavam, they're going to be disqualified from Kohanim, they'll be Chalalim. And that, Pagam Yahavi, mi Kal v'chomer mi Almana, that we can figure out based on a Kal v'chomer from a Mana to Kohen Gadol. Almana, just like a widow to a Kohen Gadol, ain't Yisur no Igbakol, it's not a prohibition that applies to all. Nevertheless, Bina Pagum, the child of a widow to the Kohen Gadol, her child is disqualified from Kahuna. Zu, when we deal with Tzaras Erva, she's Surah Shavah Bakol, right? That's Esther Eshes Ach, that applies to all Jews. So certainly the child would be disqualified from marrying Kohanim. So because he was worried that the descendants of the Tzaros Ervas, right, there were tzaros of Arayos. There were co-wives of Arayos who had married the brothers, and they had children. So if he says, if I turn around and I say, Halacha is like Beis Hillel, that all those marriages were Yisuri Kares, I just took a whole group of people and said, you can't marry Kohanim. They're going to be all upset with me. They're going to kill me. So Rabbi Yeshua refused to make a ruling. And then he said to them, you know, there are these families who are descendants of co-wives of Arayos, and they can be Kohanim Gedolim even. So the Gemara says, one second, Kabo Minei Tzaros. They asked him about the co-wife of an Erva, the Kapashalu B'nei Tzaros, and he responds to them about the children of the co-wives. And so the Gemara, Tarti Kabo Minei, they asked him two things. Tzaros Mai, they asked him, what's the law of the co-wife? If you're going to tell me that the co-wife is like Beis Hillel, that the co-wife is not allowed to marry the brother, the children of co-wives who were following Beis Hillel, and they went out and married out of the family, the Beis Shammai, what's their status according to Beis Shammai? And he said, listen, they were they were not pasul to kahuna. Says the Gemara, l'may nafkamina. So what result is going to come out of this? Once we know halachas like Beis Hillel, what do we care what Beis Shammai think about the children of these you know, co-wives of Arayos? Answer the Gemara, l'mifshad v'lad ma'asik grushasa. To resolve the question of what about the child of a man who remarries the woman he divorced and she married somebody in between, the Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, do we say that these children are disqualified from Kohanim? Okay, Bezus Hashem, we will continue tomorrow. Thank you.